Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 19, year B. Our readings today, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Psalm 19, the Epistle of James, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is Mighty, and He is the Lord. His name is Creator, and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, so often we are tempted to come here, not to worship You, but to find fellowship for ourselves. We confess that we come seeking to receive a blessing rather than to lift up the name of our God. By Your Holy Spirit, transform our words and our actions, our songs and our prayers, our listening and our waiting, into a celebration of Your glory. We pray that we may, and all Your people, be filled with Your grace and worship You in spirit and in truth. Amen. We have the hymn, Jesus, the very thought of You.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We pray the collect for Proper 19, followed by the collect for the Feast of the Holy Cross, which was yesterday, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we, who glory in the mystery of our redemption, may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Who Do You Say? Who do you say? In our epistle today, James points out the power of the tongue. Though a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. James chapter 3, verse 5. He compares the tongue with a horse's bit and a ship's rudder. Though small, these are able to control things much bigger than themselves. James affirms that the tongue, though small, is a very powerful part of the body, which is both a blessing or a curse. There is a saying, make sure your brain is in gear before you put your tongue in action. Think before you speak. Make sure you understand the implications of what you are about to say before you speak. When we speak, we must be aware of the power of what we say and what our words mean for us and to us and for and to others. In today's Old Testament lesson from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, the writer speaks of the wisdom of God. That is, God's understanding, prudence, and intelligence. Wisdom speaks in the first person and extols her own virtues. Wisdom does not simply make herself known to the wealthy and powerful or privileged, but to anyone who would listen. Therefore, the voice of wisdom can be heard in the streets, in the marketplace, and on busy corners. If only people will listen, wisdom will give of herself and make them wise. Wisdom tries her best to be available to all. However, wisdom finds that few people are interested in accepting what she has to offer. Her counsel is ignored, and her reprimands and warnings are dismissed. How does wisdom respond? She sits back and watches the people suffer the consequences of their own folly. When those who have ignored her finally come to their senses and call upon her in their panic, they will find that she is not available. Why? Wisdom only responds to those who seek after her, to those who know that a life of reverence and fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear as in being afraid, but fear in understanding and accepting who God is and what God desires to do for humankind. Wisdom leads us to understand that the God who created this world and everything in it is love. Therefore, a God of action. Everything God does is motivated by love for humankind. It is out of love that God made a covenant with Noah, never again to destroy living creatures with a flood. It is out of love that God chose the descendants of Abraham to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people set apart for God. They were supposed to take control of the land of promise and guided by the law, influence the surrounding nations to follow the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Because of their lack of wisdom, they failed to achieve this goal. It is out of love that God promised through the prophets to send the Messiah, the anointed one, into the world to be the suffering servant, to save all of humankind from sin and death. It was love that caused the Word to become flesh and dwell among us. In today's Gospel from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 38, Jesus and his disciples have traveled deep into Gentile territory to Caesarea Philippi. Jesus has been teaching, preaching, and healing. He has done several miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. In the light of these, people are asking questions about his identity and the nature and source of the authority with which he is acting. Witnesses have asked in amazement, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands evil spirits, and they obey him." As they make their way to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Mark chapter 8, verse 27b. The people speak without considering the implications of what they are saying. Some say John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus and who was killed by Herod. How could Jesus be John the Baptist returned from the dead when he was alive at the same time as John? The tongue speaking without the brain in gear. Others say Elijah. There was this story that Elijah, who was taken up into heaven, would return. But Jesus demonstrated much more power and spoke with greater wisdom than Elijah. Others responded by taking the easy way out. He must be one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked his disciples directly, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." Mark chapter 8, verse 29. Peter answered correctly, "Indeed, Jesus is the Messiah, God's anointed." But Peter, having proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, did not understand the significance of what he said. As Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for his ministry as Messiah, they were not prepared for what he was to endure. It was easy to say, "He is the Messiah." However, to accept the ministry of the Messiah was very difficult for them. Jesus, the Messiah, begins to talk to his disciples about his suffering and death and resurrection. Jesus explains his role as Messiah three times in the Gospel of Mark, and each time the disciples, although they proclaimed him the Messiah, responded by doing or saying something that indicated that they did not fully understand the implications of what they said. Peter rebukes Jesus for talking about suffering and death. Peter clearly does not understand what messiahship entails. He has allowed his tongue to come into action before his mind has fully grasped what he is going to say. The disciples are happy that Jesus is the promised Messiah, but clearly they do not understand that the Messiah has to suffer and die, and more so, those who follow him will also suffer and die. Jesus attempts to set his disciples on the right path. He says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it." Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. The disciples acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah, but they did not understand the full meaning of these words. All of them, except John, abandoned him on the road to the cross. Yet Jesus, the Messiah, did not abandon them, even as he suffered and died. On the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus predicts that his disciples will all desert him. Yet he promised to meet them again in Galilee after his resurrection. Peter denied him three times. The rest, except John, ran away. But Jesus, the Messiah, would forgive them. All the disciples except John were martyred for their faith. The disciples of Christ are called to take up their cross and follow their master, who gave his life on the cross. We sing, "Follow him, follow him, he is King of Kings." But do we fully understand what following Jesus means? As disciples of Christ today, we must be aware that the words that we sing and say could be condemning us and not matching the life that we are living. Guided by the Holy Spirit, as we proclaim our discipleship, we will not be saying mere words that will condemn us, but truly committing ourselves to a life of selfless sacrifice and service to others with love. The psalmist gives us a powerful reminder. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Let us pray. We call upon your name, O Lord, incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before us as the pathway to salvation. Give your church courage to embrace sacrificial living. May we never be ashamed to proclaim you as Lord. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before all nations as a challenge to power and force. Give courage to all who stand for justice and peace. May all who govern serve their people with wisdom and humility. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before all people as a sign of truth and understanding. Bless and guide all who teach and inspire the minds of the young. May we set their feet on firm foundations for godly and fruitful lives. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you set your cross before us as a symbol of hope and love. Give courage to all who are anxious or fearful in their suffering. May the weary be sustained by your word. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. Lord, you hold your cross before us at the hour of our death. Hear us as we remember with love all who have died. Do not be ashamed of us when you come in your glory. We call upon your name, O Lord. Incline your ear to our prayer. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. We have the hymn, Take Up Your Cross, the Savior said.
Let us pray.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us, O love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day, this week, and always. Amen. And we pray that you will have a very productive, rewarding, and spirit-filled week. Please be safe. And we leave you with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you.